You know, a person gets excited about some new idea or a dream, and it might even be a husband or a wife. And we get excited about something, and then we actually pluck up the courage to share that idea, that new inspiration, that new dream with the person or a friend. And that well-meaning friend sort of looks at us and strokes their chin and begins to tell us all the reasons why that idea or that dream or that inspiration won't come about. It's never been done before. It's going to cost so much. And all of these ideas just seem to be the default position of most people. And soon that wonderful inspiration or idea dies. But a couple of months later, the same person gets another exciting idea. And they get really excited and share it with their friends again. Several of those friends just dump cold water on the idea and come out with the same ideas. And soon that dream dies again. And actually this happens several times over. And each time that person gets inspiration or some new idea, the person has now reached a point where they don't dare to share that dream or that inspiration or that idea with the other person. Now the real serious tragedy of this situation is that that person very, very quickly, and I can tell you from personal experience, very, very quickly, that person is 60 or 70 years of age. And all of the God-given ideas that had come into that person's mind and heart, that could have been lived out, that could have been accomplished, didn't happen simply because that person was never encouraged by someone else to believe in that dream or to believe in that inspiration. It happens to thousands of people around the world. Has it happened to you? Have we got a... It's not working. It might just take a little while to fire up. Langston Hughes wrote a poem about dreams. It says this: hold fast to dreams, for if dreams die, life is a broken-winged bird. They cannot fly. Hold fast to dreams, for when dreams go, life is a barren field frozen with snow. Now the point that I'm trying to make this morning is that it's just all too common that people, that I, that you, don't encourage others to really pursue their dreams or ideas. Now in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20, which we just sang, it says this: he is able to accomplish more than we ask, imagine, or dream. Now that's from the Bible, and we just sang it. This is one of the things that I love about corporate worship. When we sing together, we're not just singing little songs, but for me, I deliberately turn those songs into prayer. And when I'm singing those songs, I'm praying to the Lord, and I feel like it's a joy to be praying together with all of you. And the Bible says he is able to accomplish more than we ask or imagine or dream. What happens if we don't dream or imagine? I'm going to give you permission to speak. Give me some feedback. What happens if we don't dream or imagine? We stay still. We don't move forward. Anything else? It's boring. Life can be very boring. I mean, just look around this room. Look at the monitor here. That monitor was an idea in someone's head. You look at every single thing in this room, including us. We were an idea in God's imagination. The chair that you're sitting on was once an idea in someone's head, and today it's an actual chair. It's a reality. Nothing that you can see here was not once an idea in someone's head. That is a very, very powerful idea. Because if God is God, and He's the creator of the universe, God is full of creativity, and we are made in His image. So if we are made in the image of God, I believe one of the characteristics of God is His creativity, and He wants us to be creative. He wants to speak into our hearts and our minds so that we can dream His dreams. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, and this is what I referred to a moment ago, it says, "Stir one another up to love and good works." And I'd like to relate this verse to this idea of encouraging one another with the ideas that we have. What would happen if some of the ideas or dreams or inspirations that we have, that we feel we can't share with other people, actually came from God, were really things that He was speaking into our hearts? So this morning I want us to just forge ahead and think about the idea of encouraging one another to imagine and to dream, to have visions, especially with this new year. By the time we meet here next Sunday, it'll be 2011. And there's not a thing we can do about this year that's gone past. It's finished. Christmas Day 2010, with all the plans that we had and the presents that we bought and the wonderful experience we had, is history. And we can't repeat that again. So we're going to take an interest in each other's dreams. Now, in this area, I'm very aware that for evangelical Christians, often there's a big question mark over this very idea. Is it right for Christians to dream? Should we dream? And as I said a moment ago, I really believe that we've been created in God's image. Was God creative when He put this world together? Man, it's just so wonderful. Should we try and imagine and dream what God could actually do in us and through us? What do you think? Well, I've got a few nods. You agree with that? You really do? Okay, that's great. That's encouraging. I want to make a couple of points here, because it is possible for those of us that we really love that dreams die because we fail to encourage them. And as I say that this morning, I have some really big regrets in my own heart. As I think of people who came to me excited about certain ideas, and my first response was to pour cold water on those dreams. And I really regret that. And the older I get, the longer I live, and you know, you younger people know that when I'm with you, I'm asking you, what's your vision? What's your dream? I really believe that we need to encourage each other in this way. And I believe with all my heart that it honours God when we encourage others to dream dreams. Because in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says this. Let's read it together. Can you see it? We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Isn't that amazing? Now, some of you have had a really tough 2010. There's all sorts of things have come into your lives, and you're feeling discouraged. But let me just try and point you towards 2011. There's going to be some tough times coming, but God told us that He's already prepared good works in advance for us to do. Do we believe that? For 2011, God's got some things for you to do that no one else can do. I love the idea that I am absolutely unique in the universe, and I love the idea that you are unique in the universe. And some of you young people, or all of us, I guess, we have jobs, we're at university, we're moving with people where I could never go. Sam and I have lunch together reasonably regularly, and it's every time I go to where he works, with the sort of work that he's doing, I am so encouraged. I come away encouraged. And I see, I couldn't do what Sam's doing, dealing with immigrants who are coming to this country. You walk into the front office and there are people from all over Asia and Africa who've just arrived in this country, and he has the incredible privilege of helping these people. And each one of us is in a situation where we have a unique opportunity to be Jesus to the people that we're going to influence. And the Bible says that we are God's workmanship. God created us. He knows us. He knows the environment in which we work and live. And he wants to do his thing through us. We're a missionary-minded church. We've just had 15 young people go to the Philippines, and on Christmas Eve, I went around this room and I talked to four of them. Just asked them about the highlights for that trip. And it was wonderful. But let me tell you, every single one of you and me are on mission. Whether we go there or whether we stay here. Whether we go to Griffith University in UQ or to the government office that we work at in town or to Access over in Woodridge. Wherever we are, we're on mission for Jesus Christ, and he has created good works for us to do. Man, that is really exciting. And I want us to take time this morning to actually listen to him and take time to write down what may be whispers from heaven. I've chatted with some of you and talked about dreams, and some of you have very, very cautiously said, oh, I'm not sure about this, but, you know, I'm a bit embarrassed about this. And I'm saying, come on, tell me. And out come some of the most profound and wonderful ideas. And I think we need to be encouraging each other. So for our context this morning, I want to define a dream as this. I think we've got it up there, Colin. A God-given idea, plan, or goal that leads to God-honoring results. Would you be happy to accept that as a good definition for a dream? It's first of all not our own ideas. Although, because God created us and created us in our image, and especially when we've come to know Jesus, our spirit has been regenerated. So we now have a spirit, and God is spirit. This is one of the most profound things in the universe, that God is a communicating God. I've been born again, and God can communicate with my spirit. And he wants to whisper his plans, his ideas, and his dreams into me. So a dream is a God-given idea, plan, or goal that leads to God-honoring results. In other words, God gets all the glory. So people who are going to soar like eagles in 2011 are people who are motivated by God's ideas and God's dreams. Now, I tell you, at 65 years of age, there's a lot of things I don't get excited about anymore. But just sharing this with you this morning, I'm excited. I really am. I believe the potential in you and me for 2011 at this place, at this time, is beyond anything we could even dream about. God wants to do something very, very wonderful. Now, listen, I really don't want to be misunderstood this morning, so let me try and clarify the difference between a dream and fantasy. What's the difference between a dream and fantasy? Give me some feedback. Reality? Okay. So, are you suggesting that fantasy is not necessarily reality? Okay, so there has to be a logical dimension to it. Self-serving. Okay, that's another idea. I mean, when we're talking about fantasy, we're actually talking about something that can't really happen. I will never be the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. Now, I could dream about that and have a vision about it and dream about it for as long as I like, but I know that's not going to happen. That's in the realm of fantasy. But a dream is something that is actually within the realms of possibility, and especially when we bed it down with this verse that we've read from Ephesians, that God has created us for good works. You know, when I was young, I wanted to fly an aeroplane. And at 16 years of age, I held a private pilot's license, even before I had a driver's license. It was a dream that became a reality. And perhaps in a few minutes' time, I might share with you a couple of other of my dreams, and I hope that you will feel free to do the same, so that all of us can hear those and we'll really pray for each other. Now, this is the time for you to do a little bit of work. You just take that life dimension wheel that we've given you this morning. There are eight areas of life around that. And in the middle circle, you could put yourself, but you could also put Christ. This is where you are living. Christ-centered character. And I'm going to give you some time, probably 5 or 6 minutes, where I'm not going to talk. Won't that be a relief? In the middle of a sermon, the pastor actually stops and lets you do something. I'm going to give you 5 or 6 minutes to begin writing down some dreams that you would love to have come true. And to help you think about this, I want you to look at these different areas of life. Some of them are to do with family, some to do with relaxation. You know, for example, I've been doing this training around the world for 10 years now. And almost every Leadership Matters course I go to, over the last few years, I've written down, I would love to start swimming regularly. And I've looked at that every year for about 7 years. And it's not until my son, who's come home to live with us with a very bad back, and I feel, you know, maybe I can encourage him this way, and I've begun to swim. And I'm swimming almost every morning. That's, for me, that's a dream that's come true. And I feel so fantastic. I mean, I do drop to sleep every night, and people throw cushions at me when I'm snoring and whatnot. You get up early to swim, that can happen, but that's just an example. So, you know, start to dream about some of those areas in these areas of life dimension. You might like to think about a problem that you would like to solve, how you would make some contribution to our community right here in Sunnybank Hills. You might like to think about a person you admire for what, you know, you'd like to be like. What kind of a person would you like to be like? I mean, this is not to say, some people get so focused on someone else that it becomes a jealousy thing. And they want to be like someone else rather than being what God has made them. But on the other hand, there are some admirable qualities that we see in others that we would like to emulate, and God might help us. And I'd like you to think, I mean, we could think about 5 years' time, 10 years' time, but for this exercise, because we're between Christmas and New Year, let's just think about next year. What are some things that you would like to accomplish next year? So let's just have some fun and enjoy this for a few minutes. Concentrate. Don't worry about others. Just say, Lord, you've created me. What is it that you're whispering into my ears? Could I just pray for a minute? Let's pray so that the next 5 or 7 minutes, God really gives you and me some inspiration. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these words that we've read from your word this morning, that you have created us. You are a creative God. You are a creating God. You've created us with creative ability. We're made in your image. You've also told us, Lord, that we are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that you've actually prepared beforehand for us to do. So I pray that in these next few minutes, you just inspire us by your Holy Spirit to dream about some things you would love to do in us and through us in 2011. For Jesus' sake, amen. Okay, go to it. I'll ring the bell in 6 minutes. Okay, let's just draw this to a close.
I've moved around, this can be a very, very sensitive exercise, because some of you have come from backgrounds where you have been discouraged so often about dreaming that this exercise actually becomes painful for you. And my prayer and hope this morning is that even if we can encourage you to just open the door a little bit and begin to dream again. I did this exercise in Atlanta about 6 years ago. And as we were sharing, realizing that some people were really excited about this and others were almost weeping, one pastor got up and he started weeping. There were about 50 of us in the room. And he said, I've been in 3 pastorates and it's been so hard, so difficult. He was just weeping. He said, I came to this conference and I've stopped dreaming. And spontaneously, a whole lot of people got up and just came and laid their hands on him and started praying for him. By the end of the session, he stood up with tears again and began to share some of the dreams that God was beginning to speak back into his life. And the whole crowd got up and gave him applause. So I just want to say that because I'm conscious that this can be a little sensitive. But I'm going to plunge in anyway. What I'd love you to do is actually just find a partner, someone you feel comfortable with sharing. I don't want you to necessarily share everything you've written down, but just with one person, share some of the things. It might be with your husband or wife. If you feel comfortable to break up this morning for a few minutes and share with others, that'd be fine. But just for about 3 minutes, go to it. And just share 2 or 3, maybe 1 minute for one person, then we'll swap over 1 minute.
Just give you about 30 seconds and then if we could finish up. What I'd like you to do now is take your pencil and I'm actually going to ask some of you to call out your dreams. Now I know this could be a little sensitive and you don't have to share what you don't want to share, what you don't feel free to share. But would you put a circle around what you think would be your number one idea or dream for next year? An idea that really, really motivates you and that perhaps you'd be willing to share with the group. Okay, let's just spend the next few minutes encouraging one another. Now, I sat down beside Doreen and I want her, I think she's willing, I want her to share her one of the little dreams she's had.
The spirit was willing, but the body was weak. But I was always glad when I come. And I sat down there, and as I listened to the beautiful music this morning, I am very musical and have been all my life. I've studied it, and I've done it professionally, and I do understand what I'm doing. And I was so impressed by these musicians and the singers, and the thought came to me, you should do a little CD. You've got machinery there. All you've got to do is buy some CDs and put about 12 songs on it and just give it to people. Because a lot of people, and because I listen to a lot of gospel music, some of it I don't want to listen to, but this was so beautiful and so encouraging. And I feel if they did the CD, just very simply, they're all electrical, they know what they're doing, and just offer it to the congregation, you bring a lot of happiness to people, because making the beauty of music is not always in just making money, it's giving to others.
Now, is that an encouraging dream? Let's show our appreciation.
And you know, the strange part about it was that I didn't even know what Roger was going to talk about. So if that isn't an incentive from God, I don't know what it is.
Boy, they'd better do it, hadn't they? Well, worship team, take that to heart. Helen. Well, hang on.
If we've got a
That's amazing. It means the worship team is going to have to do it this week. But that, you know, I think that is a wonderful, wonderful idea. And I hope the worship team really take that to heart. You know, throughout church history, wherever the Spirit of God has been at work in revival and in a wonderful way, and there's a little sense in which we've been experiencing some of that in the last few months, God inspires people to write new songs. In every revival through history, new songs were written. So let's trust God. Belinda, would you like to share what you've written there? Have we got a roving mic?
That'd be really great. Thank you.
Pinay has been developing a program called Grace Adventure, and we're hoping by the end of 2011 we can have a small team and we can take a small team to different countries to observe, you know, how we can use our professional skills to create some creative ministry in different parts of the world.
Praise the Lord. That's a great dream. Let's show our appreciation. Dinesh, what have you got circled there? Thanks. No, we want to hear. Thanks.
This is a very sketched idea, but maybe some sort of community work involvement on a regular basis where you are involved in working in a soup kitchen or something. Something which is just out there rather than just in here. I'm not sure how it will pan out.
You're going to put curry in the soup?
Curry as well, if you see, yeah.
That is good.
No problem.
That's a great dream. Thanks, Dinesh. Anyone else? Just stand up and share, and we'll hand the microphone to you. Who else would like to share? Come on. Colin, have you got one? You got a few.
I paid out a gym membership last year that runs to about the middle of next year. One of my dreams is to actually go to the gym.
We all understand.
That's a dream. I have the privilege of being having the opportunity of growing a school community as the principal of a little school in Darwin. And for a long time in my previous work as a teacher, I have dreams about what a school could be like. And now I have an opportunity as the leader of a little school with the team. It's not just about me, but being able to put some of those ideas into place. So one of them is that the school is more than just there for the daytime program, and I have a dream that we have a night school as part of our school that families can come to and parents can come to, that there can be learning outside of the normal school hours. And I don't know why, I just, this idea, I really believe it's God giving me this idea. And this is the year that we're going to actually start that. So,
well, Cole's my brother-in-law, and he's one of the most creative people that I know on the face of the earth. And I just think that's a fantastic dream. Let's encourage Colin. Let's have two more. Who? Raj is nearly jumping out of his skin. Yeah, great. You got to keep up with his dad. He might end up making the soup.
No, I can't cook. Right. So one of my dreams is actually to become a bit more international, and I sort of kind of in my family's background, we've spread around, and I want to do that a little bit more. and I don't really intend, I hope, to stay in Australia for the rest of my life. So, yeah, my desire is actually to end up living and raising a family in Germany, and hopefully to interact a bit more with people in Russia. So I had the privilege this year to meet two Aussies who live in Russia in St. Petersburg, and they train people who train people to translate the Bible and stuff like that. So who knows, this is just
wow,
an inception of idea. And I sort of scouted Germany this year as well, which was really great privilege. And yeah, I don't know, this is something that I would like to do and something I'd like to sort of spread around a bit more.
Thanks very much.
Anyway.
Let's encourage our brother. I really believe that as we are open to God and He whispers His ideas into us, if we heard all the dreams that are in this room this morning, we'd be totally blown away and amazed. And this is just so exciting and so wonderful. Why do you think it's important for us to reflect and encourage new ideas and dreams? Just give me some of your ideas. Why is it important that we encourage others? For growth, we all need to be growing. You'll notice on that life dimension wheel, there's one there called personal development. And some people get to a point where they just stop everything. I want to keep learning till the day I die. Why else is it important to encourage people to dream? Sorry? Absolutely. People are more likely to pursue that dream if they are encouraged. That's true. Absolutely. Michael, without a vision, the people perish. Or the literal translation of the Hebrew is the people are unrestrained. In other words, they just go off in all directions. Well, our time is almost gone, but I really believe that this exercise this morning raises the idea that there is hope. And even if you've come here really discouraged this morning and someone's been pouring cold waters on your ideas, I really trust that a little bit of hope has been restored. Remember that yesterday's dreams are today's realities. Yesterday's dreams are today's realities. And therefore, very possible that some of the dreams that we've heard in this room, if we came back in 5 years' time, they'll be reality. Because God's Holy Spirit has been at work. And the other thing to remember is that I know one of the biggest questions that people ask me all through my pastoral life is, how do you know that it's not just your idea or it's God's idea? Or is it from the devil? Because of what I've said this morning, God is not trying to trick us. God has created us and He's the creative God. And that's why I've told you many times, I've made a habit over the last few years of taking one whole day. Now, I know it's easier for me, in a sense, because you pay me to be good. And you're all good for nothing. No, that's not very nice. But, you know, take time to hear God whispering to you. And He will. He will do that. You know, I'm involved in mentoring about 7 people in the church at the moment, including the other congregations. It's one of the delights of my life. And over the next 2 years, this is where I'll be putting most of my time, in raising up future leaders for the church. And I believe that a mentor is someone who really speaks into your life. And if you have someone who is interested in your dreams and ideas and visions, you are very, very fortunate. And if you have someone in your life who actually actively encourages you to dream, you are really fortunate. Really fortunate. It's a rare thing. So the point I'm trying to make is this. If we show interest in other people, if we really believe in them, and we really encourage them and hold them accountable for those ideas, I believe this is honouring to the Lord Jesus Christ. and the church, the family of God, will be built up and encouraged. Our time's almost gone, but I'm going to give you 2 or 3 minutes. If you'd like to get into pairs again, maybe the ones that you shared with a moment ago, and let's pray for each other, and this is how we'll finish the service this morning, and let's encourage each other and pray that some of these dreams that God is putting in our hearts will be fulfilled by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together.